Thank you for listening to this message from Revive Our Hearts True Woman 10 Conference in Chattanooga. It's our prayer that God blesses you with His Word and His heart as you listen.
Okay, let's get started. Well, welcome. My name is Susan Henson. I am with the Pure in Heart Conference team, and which is a brand new ministry under Revive Our Hearts called Pure in Heart. And it is a ministry to preteen girls ages 7 to 12. And it is a unique conference designed especially for them to help them discover what it means to really reflect the beauty of God, of who they are in Christ and their identity in Christ. And it's also for moms and grandmoms. Grandmoms, you're very much part of that journey with your granddaughters as well, and also for teachers. So welcome, ladies. I'm glad and to be able to have this special time with just us ladies. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever been blindsided by a sensitive question from one of your kids and you didn't know quite how to answer it? Any of you? Any of you? Okay. Well, then you will relate to this one grandma who was picking up her granddaughter after school one day, and as she, the little girl got in the car, the little girl says, "Grandma, guess what? We learned how to make babies at school today." Well, I don't know about you, but I kind of get that knot in my throat when I hear those questions like that. But she was a little more than surprised to hear that, but trying to keep her cool. And so the grandma says, "Really? So how do you make babies?" And she said, "It's simple. You just change the Y to I and add a yes." Now, don't we wish all their answers were that innocent? But ladies, unfortunately, because the sexually saturated culture in which our children are growing up in, that sacred window of innocence is opened way too early today. And that leaves us with all a big question, and that's what we want to address today. And that question is, how do we capture our children's heart to value purity in the midst of them growing up in an impure world? That's a big question on all of our hearts. That's the reason why you're here, isn't it? And so we'd like to do today is present you with a countercultural battle plan for moral purity. And really to be able to do that, to capture our children's hearts. Now, if you look in your outline there, everybody have your outlines. Roman numeral 1, you'll see the urgency and the reality of the battle. Before we get actually into that outline, can I just give you a little bit where God threw me into the urgency and reality, my reality check? And that was reading a story to my grandchildren. And the story begins with a little princess being born. And it was the story of the princess and the kiss. And it begins with a little princess being born. And on that day, God gives her a very special gift. And it is the gift of her first kiss. Now, her parents, the king and queen, keep this gift safe until she's grown. Then they take her up into this tower and present her with this special gift. And it is the gift of her first kiss. And there it is illustrated by this beautiful yellow glow, and it's kept under this bell jar to give the illusion of something of great value, something of great worth. Now, you know what the king says? He says, "Now, this kiss is yours to keep or give away as you see fit." So here you see the transfer of responsibility. And then he gives three warnings to the young princess, and he says, "Now, be wise, my daughter. Save your kiss for the man you'll marry. And thirdly, don't give it away to strangers." And so you see the princess take that to heart. And as she begins this journey through the story, you see that there's Prince Peacock, Prince Treasure Chest, Prince Romance. You see the suitors begin to come along. Now, I will not spoil the end of the story, but there is one young farmer who has also saved his kiss. Well, while I was reading this story to my grandchildren, who were 3 and 5 at the time, my grandson sits up in bed and puts his little hands on his hips and looks very concerned at me. And he says, "But Mama, Anna, who's in my K-5 class, she didn't save her kiss. She gave it to me. So I was like, okay, Lord, you know, you kind of get blindsided again. And I just said, well, Wesley, did you kiss her back? And he goes, no, Mama, I don't want to marry her. And I thought, wow, look what he learned just from reading the story and only 5 years old. So that was a very special time for us. But you know what was the urgency and the reality hit just a few minutes later when my two grandchildren fell asleep in my arms. And there was just this burden that just came over my mind and my heart thinking, oh my goodness, I didn't think we were going to have to talk about this till they're 9 or 10. But there was a bigger urgency and burden upon my heart. And that was, how can we break this generational sin that's been passed down to my grandchildren? As you see, my grandson is the product of my daughter's wrong choice. Now, by no means is he a mistake. He is an incredible, special gift from God. But you know what? There was an urgency in my heart. What can we do different? What can we do now? And that was my reality check that really threw me into this battle. And I'll tell you more a little bit about that later. But you know what? We are in a battle for our children's hearts. You've heard that throughout the True Woman Conference. We are in a battle for our children's hearts. And we do have an enemy. And you know what the enemy's strategy is? In John 10:10, Jesus tells us that strategy, the enemy's strategy, is to kill, steal, and destroy. But listen to the hope, girls. Jesus says in that same verse, but I came to give life. I came to give life in all of its fullness, even where the enemy wants to steal and kill and destroy. Even in the stealing of innocence, Jesus says, I still come to give life in all of its fullness. But for us to understand the urgency and reality of the battle, not only do we need to realize that we have we're in a battle, but we need to understand our child's changing culture. In 1 Chronicles 12:32, David faced a battle. And when he said he didn't know what to do, and he said he went to the tribe of Issachar because they understood the times in which they lived. So girls, we're going to have to understand the times in which your child is living and its changing culture. Therefore, we've got to understand that there's going to be a reality shift that has taken place in your day. Josh McDowell says that he says that there has been a cultural shift that has taken place. And in that cultural shift, he says that we used to have two generations in our day. We've always had that. But now we have two cultures living in the same home. Do you know why? Because our children are growing up in a different culture where they think different and they process different. And therefore, it has caused a cultural shift. And therefore, we need to be reality parents. And we're going to have to be more intentional than ever before. Now, let me tell you an Issachar of our day for your child's culture. And you know what? It's not going to come from an adult. It's going to come from an 11-year-old little girl. And we're going to watch a video clip in just a moment. You can watch this clip at pureinheartconference.com. And you can hear the story of Haley. Let me set the background and paint that picture for you. And Haley is an 11-year-old girl. And she's at a ball tournament. And my dear friend Jill is there as well. And it's a 2-week ball tournament. And the first day, this little 11-year-old girl bebops up the bleachers and sits down beside Jill and claims Jill as her BFF for the next 2 weeks. And the 2 days later, they're on their way to the concession stand, and they stop at this playground, and Haley opens up her heart and shares what she's facing as an 11-year-old. And we're going to listen in, and I want you to think about some words that Haley is feeling and then the conflicting messages that is taking place. So let's listen to what Haley has to say to us.
Thank you. idea how hard it is being my age these days? It's like a video game, except you're the one getting shot at. We're seeing all this stuff, and we don't even know it. It's the peer pressure, the bad language. Like, why can't they just say Cracker Jack? It's the boy crazy girls. The way they dress, and you should hear the things that the guys are saying. It's just really hard to have a pure heart these days. Oh, and FYI, I used to think this all started in about the fifth grade. Not anymore. Try the second grade.
Those words are sobering, aren't they? So do you see what Haley's feeling? And do you see that what she's facing and that conflicting message she's being bombarded with? Did you feel that? Did you feel that tug of war that where she said that she wants to have a pure heart? But at the same time, she's receiving that conflicting message of what the world is trying to say to her and her friends are trying to say to her. What were some of the words of feelings that you heard Haley say? Anybody? You can talk to me.
Shot at.
She's being bombarded. No matter where she tries to run and hide, she's still getting hit by the conflicting negative messages that are contrary to God's way of thinking. What else? Anybody else? Did you hear the word hard? She said it's hard. She said that word twice, actually. Do you know in the Roper survey, they said that the number one concern for tweens in upper elementary is that they're being pressured into doing something that they know that they shouldn't do. So that there is that peer pressure there that is coming at our children. And then she says, we see things we don't even know it. Ladies, our media is priming our girls, and especially our girls, but our boys as well, but it's priming our children to believe this is where their self-worth and their value and their identity is found. And so you see that this is the conflict that is coming at Haley. And we also, one concerning factor in this is the fact that you hear the message of how to capture love. And did you hear how she said it's the way the girls dress and how to flirt that skirt? There's one thing that's very concerning to me is the message that is coming through the media and is bombarding our young children, even through Disney, is the fact that relationships are disposable. They're temporary. And if they're disposable and temporary, why wait? So that is a very concerning factor that is up on from this message that we hear. But the most concerning is that I used to think this started in, what, fifth grade, but it really starts when? Second. Is that concerning for us today, and is that a reality check for what is happening in our culture today? Let me show you how we need to begin, at least, to combat the lies from the conflicting messages that's coming up on our young children at such an early age. One great, great resource for you that's on the table out there is called Teaching True Love to a Sex at 13 Generation. And some of you back there already have said, oh, that's so young. Well, I love this book because whether you have a 2-year-old or a 13-year-old, you ought to get this book, because what it does is teaches you as a parent how to teach your children to turn the pen of their heart over to God to write their love story for them. But you know what the consequences of the lies and the negative influences of our culture is? Let me look at some of these stats that we have, and I want you to look at these, because did you know that according to People's Magazine and NBC poll, that by the age of 12, 3 out of 10 kids are already sexually active? So the consequences, if Eric and Leslie Ludy were to reprint that book, Sex at 13 Generation, they most likely would need to change their title to a younger age. And then also in Associated Press, I got this through my webpage one day, and I was just shocked when I received this. But New Orleans, there was a fifth grade class that was accidentally left behind for a school assembly, and there were a young man became the lookout for during that class period time, while two other couples in that classroom had sex in front of their fifth grade classmates. Can you imagine that being burned onto children's mind? So these are the consequences of the media and all the effects of our culture, our sexually saturated culture. And when we look at these consequences, we're also seeing the consequences of how our government and our media and our school systems are responding. According to the O'Reilly Factor and the Charlotte Observer, they gave a report that in Portland, Maine, one of the school systems there had just the school board had given approval that 11-year-olds can be given birth control, and not just birth control, but without parental consent. And they were offering all kinds of other paraphernalia as well for safe sex. Now, let me ask you this. When is sin ever safe? And offering this to our 11-year-olds? Now, this really gets me on a high horse here and a soapbox, because your children, you have to give a written permission to your children to even have a Tylenol. And yet your children can be given birth control at age 11. Can you just think of the consequences? You know what the government is not telling you is about this hookup and friends with benefit generation is the high price tag that we all are paying, especially our children. And do you know that 8,000 teens today will get a sexually transmitted disease, according to the Medical Institute? And one of those high price tags of the top third sexually transmitted disease is called chlamydia, which has now brought the consequences of those that are now entering childbearing years are going to be, many of them are going to be sterile because they contracted a sexually transmitted disease, because there's no, that you will not see the side effects from it, and it's a very hidden disease. And so many today will face the consequences of not being able to bear children when they would love to be able to have them. So these are just some of the consequences. But you know what the real consequences are? And what we're not being told is about the gaping holes and the soul ties that it creates, and the addictions, the eating disorders, and the depression, the suicides, the abortion. And the consequences are so much more complicated today than they ever were. Now let me tell you the end of the story, because I must tell you the end of how Jill responded to Haley's story when she opened up her heart and shared. And Jill said, "Haley, are you sure you're only 11 years old? Because you sound like a 30-year-old woman trapped in a 30-year-old body and an 11-year-old body." And so 2 weeks later, at the end of this ball tournament, they're packing up their bags and they're driving out of the parking lot. And Haley spots Jill across the way, and she rolls down her window, throws herself out, and she's waving at Jill, trying to get Jill's attention. She said, "Jill, Jill, don't forget me. Remember, I'm 30. And you just hear her, how she was able to connect with Jill and open up to her about the things that she was facing. Remember, she said, "Do you have any idea how hard it is?" I'm wondering, you know, you're asking, does anybody have a clue? My mom don't have a clue. Do you have a clue what's going on? So moms, do we have a clue? So many moms had their children watch that video clip, and do you know they said, "I had no clue that that's," my children responded with, "Mom, that's me." And mom said, "Well, I didn't realize they were facing those things at such an early age." So I want to give you one last story. We're going to get into the foundation of our lesson for today. There was a true story. A young dad loaded up his small children and took them to the hospital to take hugs and kisses on Mother's Day to to his wife and mother, the mother of the children, because she was working as a surgical nurse. And after they delivered those hugs and kisses, they walked back down to the darkened parking garage, and the the father put the three-month-old who was in the car seat on top of the roof of the car, and while he buckled in his 20-month-old daughter. And the father slips into the front seat and walks, drives down the spiral parking garage and out onto the main street and onto the interstate. And then all of a sudden he hears a scrape on the roof of his car when he gets up to about 55 miles an hour. He looks in the back seat where his son should have been, and at that same time sees his son sliding off the roof of his car into oncoming traffic. Breathe. He did survive. But let me tell you, ladies, that what is concerning, it should take our breath away, because we can get so easily distracted from the most important things in life, can't we? But you know what is so concerning to me is that no one honked, no one waved, no one tried to warn him of impending danger. And so I just want to say to you that God has called me, says in his word, he says, those that make mention of the Lord shall not be silent. And I'm here, ladies, today, and Revive Our Hearts are here, and we're here, we're waiting, and we're saying we're facing impending danger with our children. And we are breaking the silence, and we need to begin to talk about these issues and begin to enter the battle for our children's hearts, especially in the area of purity. So what do we do? How do we combat these negative cultural issues and the cultural messages? How do we do that in today? Well, the first thing we do is that we lay a foundation and vision for the battle. Now, I want to talk about the foundation and vision for the battle first, because how do we combat these lies? We must combat it with the foundation of truth. And ladies, not just with truth, but truth in spirit and in the right spirit. And in John 16, Jesus said, he said that just before his ascension, he said, I'm going, it's best that I go and I leave you, because when I go to my Father's house, I'm going to send another, I'm going to send a comforter. And he you know what his job, his ministry is going to be, is to guide you into all truth. But the question is for you today, do you know why truth is going to be more important for you to plant those seeds of truth in, as a foundation into your children's lives today than ever before? Because of this cultural shift. Your children are growing up in what is called a morally relevant, tolerant culture. They're growing up with a mosaic philosophy. How many of you have seen a mosaic table? You know what I'm talking about. There's different broken pieces. Well, that's what they're getting. They're picking and choosing what they want to believe about God, what they want to believe about marriage, what they want to believe about dating and sex. And so it permeates our whole culture. And that's what they're living under, is that mosaic philosophy. And in the days of Judges, what was the thing? Everyone did what was right in what? Their own eyes. And the consequence, the result of that, there rose up a generation who knew not God nor the ways of God. And so, ladies, we must balance this truth as a foundation for our children. We must learn to live with the Word of God as our umbrella, and it must be must be our filter. So truth must be our foundation. And I want to give you an illustration of how to practically do this. I have before you this heart vase. And inside of this, I have dog food. And that dog food represents all the negative influences from the media, from your peer pressure your children are receiving, all the different negative influences from our culture today. And this represents the very inner soul of your heart. Let me give you a simple illustration. What if Johnny hits his little sister and you're driving in the car? You know, it really takes time to really get to the inner center of our children's heart. So what do? You tell Johnny, you know that that's wrong. Now you tell your sister you're sorry. You know what you're doing when you're doing, you're being a behaviorist instead of getting and parenting from the inside out. It's going to be very important to parent from the inside out when you're even in the issues of purity, because moral purity is a matter of the heart. So what do? You're just, when you're being a behaviorist, you're just getting a few off the top. And you're just getting to the things that are on the surface. But we want, how do you combat the negative influences that penetrate way deep, deep into their very soul and their mind? And that is, you must take spirit and truth. And Jesus is both what? Spirit and truth. And ladies, we must invite the very living Jesus and the Spirit of God into our parenting with our children. And the only way we're going to do that is to be able to pour this very spirit and life and truth into our children's life. And when we do that, what does that do? Go ahead and pour that. What does it do? It ends up being able to filter out all that is the negative influences into our children's life. And you know what? There's always going to be some on top. You know why? Because we're sinners. And your children are too. But we're always constantly pouring in truth and life all the way through that. So you can see all the way from the back there. But what do we want to do? We want to teach our children how to guard their hearts in Proverbs 4:23. The reason why we want to do that, because it says we are to guard their heart because out of it flows the issues and the wellsprings of life. So we want their wellspring of their life to be filled with the Spirit of the living God. So truth is going to have to be an important foundation for you. And another one we want to get to now is B, is the vision for their true identity and His love. This is so important for us to cast this vision of the true identity. You heard this morning, to give them identity of who they really are in Christ. That love story and of who they really are because of they are the beloved daughters of the Most High King. They have a kingdom purpose if you have a son in your life. And we have, in our Pure in Heart conferences, one of the things that we do at the Pure in Heart Conference is we really want to capture their true identity. We listened to what Haley had to say, and then we thought, well, how in the world are we going to plant these seeds and this message for our daughters? So one of the things that we did with our girls is when we look at what the boys are and our children are doing and what they're hearing, they're listening and seeing light through a distorted lens. So what we did is we took three distorted mirrors. How many of you have seen Funhouse mirrors? You know what I'm talking about. We took three Funhouse mirrors and we played off the theme out of Snow White, a mirror, mirror on the wall. And one of the first mirrors that we deal with, and one of the lies, the way to combat the lies, was we did mirror, mirror on the wall, please make me beautiful, thin, and tall. And so we really wanted them to be able to play off about the world, what the world says about their identity. And the girls, if you go to the next one, what we did is we allowed the girls to come up with their own lies that they're believing even at their age. And some of those lies that the girls attached to the lie line is we used one of the little girls as an example, and she stood up there wrapped in that lie line. Some of those lies were beautiful girls are worth more. Now, how many of us have heard that one before? Is that not true? We've heard that. And then another one, if my friends like me, then I must be okay. But what we wanted to help them understand is that that identity of who they are is not who they are. Who they really are is who they are in Christ, and that they are a beautiful princess in His sight. And so we have the mirror of God's Word as well, and we combat those lies with the truth of God's Word. And as we do, the girls take those lies off and place it into a lie obliterator machine and obliterate those lies. And then at the very end, we place this little crown on the girl's head to be able to help her to understand her true identity. How can she really be who she is if she's all bound up in these lies? How can she really be what God wants her to be if we're bound up in these lies, girls? And so these are something very important for us to be able to cast that vision of God's love story for them and their true identity and of who they are in Christ. Let's go to the next one, is the vision of true love and His gift of purity. I have in the book of Teaching True Love to a Sex at 13 Generation, Eric and Leslie Ludi have an incredible quote in here that I want to give you today. And because it says, can you pull a quote up there? It says, when you fail to offer a vision for lifelong faithfulness, purity is often interpreted as just safe sex till marriage. There is so much more. Let's give them a vision for a lifelong love story. Remember what Haley One of the messages that came from what Haley had to say is that love is temporary, and so as love is disposable. So we want to give them a vision for a lifelong love story. And not long after I had read the story of the princess and the kiss to my grandchildren, every time I read it, these life lessons just jumped off the page at me. And about a month later, I called my dear friend and mentor, Nancy Lee DeMoss, and I said, and I shared with her, I said, "Nancy, do you remember that prayer that you shared with us about that somehow God would use Revive Our Hearts to raise up a countercultural generation?" And so, and then I began to share with her that I had pulled 21 life lessons from the Princess and the Kiss story, and my burden was to capture our children's hearts, the next generation's heart, with the issue of moral purity. And not only in the process of capturing their hearts, but being able to equip the moms to know how to equip their children. And so as a result of that, we developed the life lessons for the Princess and the Kiss. Go ahead to the next one there. And there's 21 life lessons out of that. And there's also in the back of it is a blessing ceremony for the mothers to present to their daughters the spiritual desire of their heart, and the blessing, the components of the blessing is a spoken word, this special meaningful touch, and to give them a special future. And not only did we write the life lessons for the Princess and the Kiss, but also for the Squire and the Scroll. And the theme of the Squire and the Scroll is a battle plan for pure hearts. And I believe that God has just as much potential in reaching young men's hearts and fathers' hearts in this battle plan for pure hearts as much as he does for the Princess and the Kiss. And with these lessons, it gives you opportunity to also to present the fact that God is a big God. And that's the picture we want to paint for our children, that sex is a good thing. It's a good gift from God. It's not just the gift of purity, but it's a good gift from God that he wants to present to us. One of the lies that your children will grow up believing comes all the way from Eve. And you know what that lie is? Is God is trying to keep something from me. God is trying to keep something from me. When you're talking to your children, and even in the area of purity, they're going to believe the lie that God is trying to keep something from me. But the true love story of capturing God's love, of the vision of true love, is the fact that God is after what's best. He's after what's best for you and your children. And we need to give our children and help them to dream big for the glory of God and to wait for God's best. And as a result of the life lessons from the Princess and the Kiss and the Squire and the Scroll, the third vision I want to give you is the vision of a counterculture purity revolution movement. And we're just believing God for this and giving you the call and charge today. And it's simply this, is to give you an intense focus boot camp training. And what I mean by this is that we, because of our culture, we can no longer sit back idly and let the enemy take hold of our children and our culture and their friends, and to lead them the path that is contrary to God's way of thinking. So we want to put before you and the mindset that we need to go to battle for our children's heart. How can we simply do that? What we can do is set aside at least a month, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, whatever it is, but every year take time to intentionally focus on the issue of purity, an issue of moral purity for our children's hearts. I'm looking at Renee over here on the front row. If you'll go to the next one here, you'll see Renee in there. You see Ringo, Georgia. She is one that heard the message, and she went back and picked up the call and took it back to her church. And her husband, they do not even have boys, but her husband is leading the father-son Squire and the Scroll, and they're on their second year of presenting this message. And it offers accountability. It offers encouragement. to be able to do this. And what you can do with the Princess and the Kiss and the Squire and the Scroll, you can take three lessons at home, and every third lesson doing it in a club. Renee, you're doing four clubs, and do the rest of them they're doing in their, you know, in at home with mom and dad. And so you can do that in a small group. You can do it in a privately with your daughter if you want to do that. A lot of people use it as homeschool material to be able to present that message. But whatever you do, be intense, be intentional about planting the seeds of purity into their hearts at a young age. So that's one way we want to equip. Our desire is to equip the church, to equip the parents, so the parents and the church together can equip their children with God's vision and gift of purity for the next generation. So we can do. We can make a difference. You can be a Renee, or you can be a Wendy Klein from Bowling Green, Kentucky. I just received a phone call just 2 weeks ago from a woman all the way in Memphis, and I worked beside her at a Revive Our Hearts conference. And during that time, she caught the vision, and she worked that resource table with me. And she told me just last week this is their fourth year to do Princess and the Kiss and Squire and the Scroll, and they're doing 2 a year. And you know what? We want to present to you the fact about the pure in heart vision, because not necessarily am I concerned about you using the life lessons from the Princess and the Kiss or the Squire and the Scroll. I'm concerned about whatever material you use, you focus on the issue of purity, because we must focus, we must be intentional about getting to the center of our children's hearts on this issue of purity. Now, I want to get into Roman numeral 3 on the strategies and weapons for the battle. I want to give you some hands-on tools to take home with you as we enter into this time. And A is create a safe place of communication. Create a safe place of communication. I want you to be a voice and give a voice. There was a question proposed to a group of first graders. And the question to the first graders was, if you're in a large group, how can you tell if two people are married? And the one little boy raised his hand. And as he raised his hand, he says, well, you look around the room and you see which two people are yelling at the same kid. Now, that's not what I mean by be a voice and give a voice, girls. So I want to be clear on that that's not what I'm talking about here. But one way we can create a safe place of communication in order for them to really grasp the seeds that we want to plant in our children's life is, first of all, is number one, is to cultivate heart soil and plant seeds early. Plant seeds early, and not just early, but along the way. Ladies, you are the gardeners of your children's hearts. You are molding a life that will mold future generations. That is the big picture. You are molding hearts that will mold future generations. And we must realize it's not about just today. And I think of that young man that was distracted and left his son on the roof of the car. You know, that's all it takes for the enemy, is for us to get distracted. But in the sower of the seeds, the parable of the sower and the seeds and the soil, when Jesus gives the explanation, when the seeds were sown into the ground, they took root, but it said quickly that the seeds were choked out. And then he gives the explanation of why that took place. And the explanation was, it says, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke out truth. So how do we combat lies? We combat lies with truth. But the cares of this world. So moms, if we get distracted, or if we are so busy about caring about the cares of this world, we get laundry and getting them to soccer practice and getting them to the next place, it can choke out the very seeds of truth. One little boy is also in first grade. The teacher asked him, how do you define love? And he says, love is not hurried. love is not hurried. And she understood it when the mother came in the afternoon. And as soon as she came in the door, she says, honey, hurry up and get your backpack. Hurry, get your coat. We've got to hurry and get you to the soccer practice. We got to hurry up and get supper, and we got to get your homework and get to bed. So love is slow. Love is realizes that we can get distracted, and we take time to focus on what's most important. Because your children will be grown before you know it. So we want to give our children, we want to plant those seeds early, and we want to plant them along the way. And ladies, this is not about the big talk, okay? This is not about the big talk. We're talking about moral purity. We're talking about the moral issues of our heart, and we're planting those seeds along the way. Even when they're 3 and 4, you're starting to plant those seeds of purity along the way. And the life lesson from The Princess and the Kiss is very non-threatening, age-appropriate. Sex is never mentioned in those, but it's very foundational stories and lessons that our children can grasp at an early age. It gives them the foundation. And guess what, ladies? If you lay that foundation, if you're planting seeds along the way, then you will know when the right time comes for you to talk to your children about the big talk. And if you have if you're not sure about how to give that big talk, we have a great resource by Family Life Today with Dennis Rainey and Bob Lapine on the passport to purity. So let Dennis and Bob help you with the big talk. I recommend this for everyone, especially if you have a fifth grader or sixth grader. You definitely need to go home with this. It has 5 CDs in there, and it covers lots of topics. It talks about body changes. It even talks about some sensitive issues that we so easily are not willing to talk about and are very silent about. So it even gives you some information even about solo sex and different things like that that we do need to address. These are issues that we need to address with our children, but it does it in a God way and giving a big picture. And so one of the things that you can do as a mom or as a grandmom is that even when your child is entering K-5, here's the part about being a voice and giving a voice. You need to say to your child, honey, you're going to hear things, you're going to see things, but I want you to know you can always come talk to me. So you give them that safe place. And some moms will say, well, you know, my daughter's not ever really asked me about anything. She's still very, very innocent. But you know what I come back and say? But have you given her permission to talk to you about anything and about their body changes? So give them permission to talk about the things that it's weighing heavy upon their minds and hearts because of what they're hearing in their culture and in their day. Mom said, you'd rather them get the playground version or God's version, God's picture of the big story. And the safest place they can get that proper vision of what God has for them, of God's beautiful gift of purity and what true love really is going to be from you. The key theme of the life lessons from The Princess and the Kiss is that love comes from a pure heart, a clear conscience, and a sincere faith. So we need to be able to give our children that opportunity to be able to share their own hearts. One of the things in the Human Manifesto, in number 5 in the Human Manifesto we're going to read tomorrow, it says, embrace and express our unique design and calling as women with humility, gratitude, faith, and joy. And it says to seek to, number 6 is seek to glorify God by cultivating such virtues as purity, modesty, submission, meekness, and love. So we are about cultivating our children's hearts and planting those seeds so they're ready to receive those special seeds that we're going to plant along the way. One more that's very important for us underneath this creating a safe place, the way to do that is by celebrating with more affirmation and less expectation. Listen to this, girls. When was the last time that your child walked into the room and you smiled at them? Not because they were handing you a certificate of an achievement, but just because of who they are. When's that last time that you just loved on them for who they are? That's going to be really important if you want to give them a safe place to be able to build that relationship with you so that they will open up their heart to receive the seeds that you want to plant into their hearts and minds. And so we need to be able to give them that safe place by celebrating them with more affirmation and less expectation. The next one we want to talk about is B, is create courageous convictions to battle real life issues, And the first one I'm talking about, these are going to have to be countercultural convictions because your children are getting different messages today. And remember the one about how to capture love. Well, the first one you're going to need courageous conviction is, what is your battle plan, girls? What is your battle plan about courtship and dating? Do you have a battle plan? Determine that way before the fact. You need to determine that way before the fact. And one way you can do that is by helping them at an early age to choose friends. One of the messages that the king gave to the princess, and one of the warnings, he said, now be wise, my daughter, and save your kiss for the man you'll marry, and don't give it away to strangers. Now, in our culture, we do have a friends with benefit and very casual relationship. And so, you know, when he says, don't give your kiss away to strangers. For a child, a stranger is a stranger. But do you know that God gives instructions of what a stranger is? And he said, and this is a real important seed that it's countercultural today that you don't hear much about. But that seed is, he says, don't intermarry with the strangers of the land. Why? Because he said, they'll turn your heart from me to idol God. So even at an early age, you want to plant the seeds of the fact that of not being unequally yoked, never dating or marrying someone who not only is not a believer, but someone who you really want to marry, someone who has loves God and wants to serve God. In the story of the Princess and the Kiss, the young farmer had served in the king's field for many years. So you can tie that lesson into their daughter's hearts that this is the type of man you want to marry. So in lesson number 8 in the Life Lessons from the Princess and the Kiss, is number 8 is be careful of making friends with strangers. And it covers that whole lesson. But in the creative focus here, which gives you activities, it gives you crafts. And here, one of the activities that is presented in this is qualities that are worth admiring. And it's so they invite the daughters with the moms to look into your father's life or look in the men that are in your life. And what are the qualities and the character qualities that you think would make a good husband? And so you're starting very young of planting those seeds in a very non-threatening way. And, of course, there's discussion questions there for you to cover that lesson as in more depth as well. But those are just one of just planting the seeds of purity by teaching them and helping them in choosing friends. One North Star. What does a North Star do? It guides you in the storm for helping you as a parent of choosing God's mate. Now, I'm not going to give you what you should choose for your child for courtship or dating. But one, God's Word can give you some instruction in 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 through 8. The first four verses tells you how to do it God's way. The last four verses tell you how the world does it. So those it's a great North Star for you. And at the very end of it, it says, do this as a mark of devotion to God. And so you live your life to the glory of God in choosing a godly mate, doing it God's way, finding God's will for your God's best for you. And 1 Thessalonians 4, the first four verses will give that to you. And then the last part of that, it says, if you reject this, you're not rejecting man's authority, but God's. So when they want to reject your authority or what they're being taught, then say, this is what God says of how to go about finding your special mate if God chooses that special someone for you. One thing we did with our boys is the fact that because of the choice my daughter had made, we very much early on, we decided, my husband sat our boys down, and he said to our boys, he said, you know what, feelings are meant to progress when you fall in love with a young lady. And he said, so here's my instruction to you, or my advice to you is what he said, not an instruction, because he wanted it to be their choice. He said, my advice to you is not even think about dating until you first can afford a wife. So that means you've got to have a job, and you've got to have at least probably 2 years of college behind you. And so think about that before you are ready to really take on that responsibility. And you know they did that. They waited till they were juniors in college to wait for God's best for them. And so we need to be able to plant those seeds into their heart. So courtship and dating is a very, very important one. Clothed in modesty is another one. And this is where we've got to enlist dad's help in this, and to help them to be able to know the what is proper, what is not. We need to teach our girls to protect our brother's eyes. Girls, one thing we can need to teach our daughter is that really there is a chemical that is released into our men's eyes, whether they're a son or our husbands, into their eyes, that is released to the pleasure center of their brain that says, I want to see more. And that's the way God wired them that way. And as a result of that, we as women need and teach our daughters about modesty. So this is going to be a courageous conviction. One of our ladies from our Pure in Heart conference, she covers the topic of modesty because she's raising four girls. And one of her daughters brought in a blouse. Instead of saying, no, you can't wear that, she said, well, let's let dad, let's see what he thinks about it. So she models it. And comes out, and then he goes, wait just a minute, and he runs out of the room and comes back in. He has his underwear on the outside of his pants. I love it, I love it, I love it. And he says, now this is what men are thinking when you wear that, of inviting you to the lingerie party. And so you need to think, so we need to get our guys helping on this issue of modesty. And ladies, I must say this. You know what? Our men battle this issue with their eyes all week long in the workplace. The one place they should not have to battle it is in the church. We as women, we should learn and recognize we need to protect our brother's eyes. Now, yes, we need to teach our men how to shield their eyes. In fact, shielding their eyes in the Squire and the Scroll, great, awesome, awesome lesson in there, because it in Proverbs 4, the whole lesson is based on Proverbs 4 about guarding the doors to your heart and your mind. And there's one lesson where the knight falls because of his eyes, but the young squire shields his eyes because he has innocent eyes and pure eyes, and he's learned to guard and shield his eyes. And my grandson went through the Squire and the Scroll, and they did the first part of the first pilot program we did, and they learned about guarding their eyes. My grandson was going to speak in a men's conference with his grandpa and his uncle, and so I had to run into Target to get me some pantyhose, and he was with me, and he was 10 years old, and I'm headed to the lingerie department, and he stops me just before we go in to that area of the store, and he says, Mama, where are you going? I said, well, I've got to go over here and get me some pantyhose. And he says, well, I'll wait for you right here. I'll wait for you right here. Why? Because he learned to guard his eyes even as a 10-year-old little boy, and the significance of that. And I had to apologize for him. I had to say, I'm sorry. What was I doing? I was stealing the seeds. And ladies, we're stealing the seeds many times by the way we're dressing in front of our... We need to model what modesty is for our daughters and for the girls around us. Let's move on to the next one there, is combating gender confusion. This is really a countercultural issue today. You've already heard this morning. But if you didn't happen to listen to Nancy's message on the gender earthquake, I think it aired about March 9th, 2010, here recently, you need to go back and listen to that broadcast. But definitely what you heard this morning from Mary Cassie about teaching God's created design for marriage. We've heard it all the way through the True Woman. But that's going to be very important for you in our gender-confused world. We must teach our children. I hope you took good notes that you can translate that for your children about what how God what His design is for man and for His and for woman and for us as for marriage. So we want to model that before our children and present that information in a way that they can understand it and understand this is God's design. It's God's plan for you. And but when we are faced with the gender confusion, and let me say to this, your children, by the time they are in fifth grade, they will be confronted, at least by the time they're in fifth grade. Some of you know you've already faced it, even earlier than that. They will be even encouraged to explore gender choices. And it's just where we are today. And I grieve for you moms of having to deal with these sensitive questions because they are tough. So we're going to have to know how to battle these issues with the truth of God's Word. And one way you can do that, it was alluded to it in Romans 1, 21 through 28. I'm not going to cover that, but I do want you to go through that and read that so you will know how to help your children and to combat the unnatural with the natural. And what happens with the unnatural in the beginning stages, there's two key thoughts here of what causes things to progress in the downward spiral. And that the first one is being unthankful. Ladies, when your children are being bombarded from their from other children about the way they look, and they're saying stuff, I don't like the way that I look, or you see that they're struggling with that. We need to deal with that unthankfulness really, really early on and take them to Psalms 139, 13 through 18 and teach them that they are created in the image of God. And not only are they created in the image of God, but they are wonderfully and special made by God's design. And Psalms 139 is a beautiful passage to be able to take them to that place about how God created them in the secret place and made them unique and special. So we want to be able to present that message to our children. Let me tell you how the gender confusion has hit my home. That little picture you saw of my granddaughter up there, she's now 10 years old. And this summer, they actually live in Thailand now and missionaries. Is that not a redemptive story now for my daughter and five grandchildren and her husband, who now serve the Lord, and that God can redeem from wrong choices? And as a result of my grandson, now there's a purity movement revolution going across this nation. Isn't that God's redeeming story? But this summer, I went over to spend a month with my grandchildren because number five was born. But before I left, I took my granddaughter Leah shopping for shoes. And here's how this gender confusion has hit my family. And it was just a little story. But we walked in the store and we come out, and my granddaughter looked up at me and she says, "Mama, that was a lady boy, wasn't it, that waited on us?" And I said, "Yes, honey, it was." And she just shook her head, and her big, beautiful, round, beautiful blue eyes looked so confused. She says, "I don't understand. I don't understand. Why was he not happy that God made him a man? Why did he want to be changed into a woman?" You know, the number one cosmetic surgery in Thailand is sex changes, and you can get it for $1,400. And it's a gender exodus that is happening over there. And they always say what's happening in Asia and Europe goes to California and New York and spreads from there to everywhere else in the States. Well, let me tell you, there is gender confusion, and people are moving in and out of trying to figure out where they are. So anyway, that's just something that we need to realize. The next conviction is navigating your child's mind field of technology. Girls, you're going to have to set boundaries early, and you're going to have to stand on those boundaries. You know more about what the technology that is in your home, and you're going to have to set those boundaries, and you're going to have to find ways to navigate those. I just spoke in Knoxville just a few weeks ago, and just before I spoke, one of the moms handed me a letter from her son's fifth grade teacher that stated that sexting was going on in the fifth grade class. Sexting, if you don't know what that is, if you've got cell phones or taking pictures of their body parts and sending that across to their friends. And not only was that taking place, but if they had the iPhones, when they were on the bus going through the neighborhoods, they were clicking on unsecured sites and downloading all kinds of stuff. Girls, this is a real battle. We're going to have to have strong convictions and help our children know how to battle this minefield of what's right and what's wrong. A great verse is Ephesians 5:3. But among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or greed, because it is improper for God's holy people. So that is a great verse for you to be able to teach our children, and even for modesty, that there shouldn't even be a hint of immodesty. It shouldn't be a hint of immorality or anything impure. Now, let me give you the last part I want to focus on here, the last one. If we don't get this next one, girls, we're not going to get the rest, because this is really the issue that we as moms must play in our children's lives and as parents. And that is, the children need you to model how to fail forward. Children need you how to model how to fail forward. And this is something that sometimes has to be caught and not necessarily taught. Psalm 34:8 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. I'm going to give you three quick models. The first model that is Lois and Eunice. When Paul looked at Timothy, he said, Timothy, I see a sincere faith in you, Timothy. And he said, when I see this sincere faith in you, he said, I first saw it in your grandmother Lois and now in you. And you know what that means? That it comes from a pottery term that means no wax. So you know what we need to model before our children? The sincere faith needs to express itself in what I call hot. We need to be honest, open, and transparent with our children. And that's what's got to come from deep within. And that we've got to help our children that when they fail, they got to fail forward. So we got to teach our children how to fail forward by teaching them how to uncover. And we need to model that when we make mistakes, when we make wrong choices. Proverbs 28:13-14 says, he that covereth their sins shall not prosper. You want your child to know to be successful? Teach them to how to uncover their sin and it says, but whosoever confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy. The second model that I want to give us is Jared and Enoch. My husband was studying the life of Jared. And Jared was walked with God. And so he looked at Jared's life and he goes, wonder what caused him to walk with God. So he looked at his father's life. And his father's name, Enoch, meant the prostrate one, the one going down, the humble one, the one that was God-dependent, not self-dependent, not man-dependent. So this is what we have got to be, is God-dependent upon our children, to show that and express that to our children. And as a result of that, my husband came home and sat our children down one day and said, kids, I need to talk to you. And he just shared how that he had failed in just really being the dad that God needed him to be. And he'd been too busy. He'd been distracted. and because of that time, he finally said, now Daddy needs to praise. He asked their forgiveness, and he gets down on all fours. And as he gets down on all fours, he just is broken in repentance and just broken in his pouring out his heart before the Lord. And as he's broken and confessing his sin, my 8-9-year-old daughter gets up out of the chair and she comes and hugs Daddy. Daddy, you're a good daddy. And then my oldest son, Isaac, he gets on the other side and tears begin to drop on his daddy's back as his daddy's weeping before the Lord. But our four-year-old son is very small for his age because he was born with multiple birth defects. He crawls up under Daddy, and right in the middle of his daddy's prayer while he's broken before the Lord, he starts tugging on his daddy's tie, and he goes, Daddy, Daddy, God's here, Daddy, God's here. Ladies, it is when we are broken and poured out and spilled out of our own issues of in our own life, and open and honest and transparent before our kids, the very spirit of the living God is released, and they get to taste and see that the Lord is good, and good even in repentance. And so many times they want to back away from repentance, but we want to teach our children to fall forward before the Lord, and the Lord is good even in repentance and even when they fail. And we had an incredible opportunity to sit early on in ministry under a godly man, my husband and I, for 2 weeks. Roy Hesh, and God used him in the African movement of the African in revival in Africa, and he made this statement I'll never forget: Calvary does not cover what needs to be uncovered. Calvary does not cover what needs to be uncovered. And I'm going to tell you, ladies, until you have experienced the mercy of God, so the kindness of the Lord leads you to repentance. And if you've not experienced the very mercy of God in repentance, then how are you going to be able to express that to your own children? How are you going to be able to be an extender of grace to your own children when they fail? I had a dear friend of mine. I encouraged her and encouraged her to listen to the Life Lessons from the Princess and the Kiss radio broadcast that we did. We recorded with 11 moms and 17 princesses. And I encouraged her to listen to the broadcast because on there, one of our speakers shares about her own past and her own failures. And so she finally did that. She had her 12-year-old daughter listen to that broadcast with her. And at the end, she just began to weep and pour out her heart. And her daughter got up and went to her mom and laid her head on her shoulder, her mom's head on her shoulder. And she says, "Mom, you didn't save your kiss for Dad, did you?" And she just said, "No, honey, I didn't," and just wept. But she said, "Susan," she said, you know what she said next? She says, "Mom, it's okay because you love Jesus now." And you know what? She said, "God covered my greatest fear that I might someday have to tell my daughter of my own wrong choices and that she might use it against me." But she said, "It's been anything but that." And she said, her daughter now is 18 and is a godly, godly young woman that has chosen for herself the life of purity. One more story I want to give to you, and we're going to close out here. And I had a man come to me one time when he was watching my daughter after she had been married 6 months, and she was very happy. She was very excited about having a baby shower soon, and he kind of pulled me aside. He said, "So how's your daughter doing?" I said, "She's doing really good." I said, "She's just so excited to be married and have a baby." And he says, "Well, I've kind of wondered if she really paid a high enough price." I tell you what, ladies, the good thing I was walking in the Spirit and filled with the very Spirit of the living God. But I'm also thankful that God had implanted in the seeds of truth in my own mind and heart. And God immediately brought back a verse to me that I want to share with you, because some of you need to hear this, because some of you need to understand that your sins are covered. You may have uncovered them before others, but they are truly uncovered and covered by God. Listen to this verse that I shared with him. First, I said, "Well, do you think she was truly repentant?" And he says, "By all means," because he watched her come before the church body, and he watched that witness, that true brokenness and repentance, not because of being caught, but because of what God had done in her own heart and how that affected her life and sin towards God. But here's a verse. I said, "Well, let me give you a verse." And this is in Isaiah 38:17. It says, "Behold, I had great bitterness, but thou hast," listen, "in love to my soul, delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back." And I just looked at the man. I said, "Well, if you feel like that she was truly repentant," I said, "then according to this, where is her sin?" "And it's behind God's back." "Well, if it's behind God's back," I said, "you know what the Lord showed me? If it's behind God's back, who is it of us to pull it from behind God's back and to throw it back into someone else's face?" Some of you girls need to hear that. Some of you moms need to hear this. Some of you grandmoms need to hear this, because maybe people have thrown your past in your face. Maybe it's been your husband and you've thrown his past in his face. Maybe your children and you've thrown their past in their face. God says, if it's truly repentance, then where is it? Where is it, girls? Behind God's back. And so It's Isaiah 38:17. So what are we doing? Another model we need to give to our children is true forgiveness. True forgiveness. And now, not all, none of us are immune to seduction, ladies, and not all seduction is sexual. But we do have an enemy, and the enemy is simply after what works, right? The enemy is simply after what works. And his job is to take captive, to do his will. Why? Because we are the apple of his eye, and he wants to hurt what God's hurts. But why is sexual sin such a powerful weapon in the enemy's hand? Because it carries long-term effects to generations to come, doesn't it? Final thing, the charge and the courage for change. The courage and charge for the battle, excuse me. It was one man. His name was Nehemiah. He was an ordinary cupbearer. But he heard that his town in which his family was exiled from, that the walls were still torn down after 142 years. He brought resources from the king into the city. And when he got there, it says the enemy was grieved exceedingly that someone had come to seek the welfare of the children. Let me tell you, ladies, the enemy's greed, if you seek the welfare of your children in the area of purity, he's not going to like it. So you're going to have to fight harder. But he walks in, he says, don't you see the mess we're in? You heard that this morning. Our children are growing up in this culture, and they think it's normal. They think it's normal. That's the mess we're in. But he calls them to put away their excuses and to rebuild the wall. And when he tells them to rebuild the wall, the enemy comes back harder. And then after he calls them back to rebuild, the enemy, as he comes back harder, listen to what Nehemiah charges them in Nehemiah 14. He says, do not be afraid of your enemy. Remember the Lord, great and awesome. Fight for your brethren, fight for your sons, fight for your daughters, fight for your spouses, fight for your homes. And what was torn down for 142 years, 52 days, was rebuilt, ladies. Rebuilt in 52 days. And the enemy came back, and it says, the enemy perceive and say that this work was done by our God. Only God can do this work, helping you to be able to fight for your children's lives. Now's the time, ladies, and the charge is, you know what? I'm just an ordinary grandmother. I'm just a cupbearer in the king's house. And that's what we all are. We're just ordinary women. But you know what? We can make a difference. And here's what my conclusion is that I refuse, ladies, I refuse to bend to Satan's lies and the culture's tactics. I'm here to give a wake-up call and say, let's stand up and fight together for the lives of our children, for the welfare of our children. We do not have to be the perfect hero. We just have to be willing to rise to the challenge and fight on our children's behalf. We do not have to let the warped agenda of this culture win. We can make a difference. And one of those active weapons we can have is prayer. God gave instructions to Moses to take two onyx stones and upon those stones to carve the names of the children of Israel. And he placed those stones upon the high priest's garments. And that weight of that was on that stone, he said, I want to use that as a reminder, not only of your sacred spiritual responsibility for them, but secondly, to continually lift up the names of the children of Israel before the Lord. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to go to prayer and ask God to intervene in this next generation. Would you stand with me and let's close in prayer with this? If you're close enough and can lock arms with someone next to you, or let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I thank you that, Lord, that you are in control. I thank you for that you say in Isaiah 41, that for I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says, do not fear, for I will help you. Thank you for the promise and the invitation that you say to come boldly before our throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find help in our time of need. Lord, we need help in raising our children. Our children need help growing up in this culture. So God, would you grant mercy? Would you grant mercy, Lord, upon helping us in this next generation? And so, Father, I'm reminded that you say in Matthew 25 that there was a cry made at midnight, behold, the bridegroom coming. Lord, you did not say that the bridegroom came at midnight, but there was a cry made. And there's been a cry that has gone across this True Woman Conference and today, Lord. And the midnight is resting upon your bride, your church, Lord. Let us rise up and truly enlist in this army and go to battle and to reclaim the ground that the enemy has stolen for the next generation. And Father, I'm so thankful that, Lord, that just the verse that Fern gave this morning is we are to arise and cry out and to pour out our hearts like water before the face of the Lord and to lift up our hands toward Him for the lives of our children. Would you just say your children's names out loud, please? Lord, you've heard these names. You know these individual lives. Lord, we place these children into your hands because we know there's no safer place for these children to be than right there in your hand. Lord, help us to parent out of faith and not fear. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen, ladies.
The message you just heard was presented at Revive Our Hearts True Woman 10 Conference in Chattanooga. You can hear any of the messages delivered there and more by visiting truewoman.com. There you'll find even more ways to connect, from books and resources for yourself, your friends, or your life group, to on-demand multimedia, to ongoing conversations you can be a part of. True Woman 10 is a ministry of Revive Our Hearts, helping you become God's true woman.